Back to the Mind of Monty podcast with your host, Monty G, and I'm Mo.
You held that one out, didn't you?
A little bit. I'm excited. Just, you know, got... I can't say that. I refuse to say that. Live. Anyway.
Why not?
I'm not going
to
call
myself. Just want to take off of your soul. Take all of your soul. Take off your soul.
Yeah. It don't make sense, and you know. Doesn't matter. He meant clothes.
Doesn't matter. He rhymed. Leave it alone. Anyway, yeah, we're back. You know.
I just thought about that song.
Which Woo-hoo. One? Yeah. That's why I did it like this.
You trash. Anyway, yeah. We've got a great episode in store for you. A lot of good things that you should be looking forward to. With the Mind of Monty podcast, we're going to try something new that we will talk about toward the end of the episode. But this episode, we're going to talk about all of this stuff, not all of, some notable stuff that happened in wrestling this week.
The most notable stuff, in my opinion.
We're going to go into some pure speculation, and then we've got some marbles to wrap up the show.
All right. Like you said, just talking about stuff roughly from this week in wrestling, a lot of, you know, big things, or even if not big things, I just kind of wanted to do this. I don't really do the show by, each thing, right, everything down. That happens to the show, right, on each weekly show every week. It's just, like I said, it's impossible at this point. It's not impossible, but it's like, I just don't think I would want to do it the way I, like, it's just too much. Let's say it that way. It's so much going on now. Specifically this week, too, you had 2 hours of Rampage. Ooh. That makes it even longer.
Yeah.
A lot more to deal with, you know, other than, like, the 3-hour and the 2-hour show from WWE weekly. So, again, a lot of stuff takes place, not to mention if you want, you know, keeping up with New Japan, or if you're just looking at any outside promotion, whether it's Impact or whatever else is going on around the world, it gets tough. But briefly, I do want to talk about certain things that, because we're still in an exciting period. Like, whether you say whatever you want, still probably the most newsworthy and just noteworthy year in wrestling in a while. Yeah. And, you know, wrestling has been crazy in general for a while. You know, for the last few years, honestly, it's been all types of stuff going on. Probably since we started this show, it's just been craziness. if you just go all the way back to 19 and not where we are now. So when you look at that situation and you think about where we are now, like, no Vince, insanity, all this type of stuff. I think wrestling right now demands attention. Whether it's negatively or positive, it's garnering eyeballs that maybe people stepped away a long time ago or stepped away a while ago and wasn't really paying attention to wrestling. Well, now it seems like it's an unlimited amount of things to pay attention to in wrestling, and it just always changes. Something happens every day. So starting with Raw this past week, to just kind of get right into it, we led off the show, definitely led it off. Seth Rollins versus Lashley. Oh. United States Championship match. Just fantastic stuff from both guys. Two veterans that at this point, I think if you know anything about their work, I'm not really surprised that it flowed well. I mean, Seth is really, really good, not only against bigger guys, but he really shines in there with someone who's bigger than him, believe it or not. And I think this was another example of that, and Bobby being his unstoppable self. I didn't necessarily like Riddle having or to help kind of in a way, but I guess Bobby has looked so strong that it's not really a diss on Bobby as much as it is.
He took a low blow too, right?
He did. He did take a straight up dick kick. Bobby did. So again, it was close. It was close. It wasn't one situation where he needed Riddle.
And it's kind of tit for tat because Seth came and interrupted a big match that Riddle had.
Yeah. Yeah, the week before.
Let's talk about the commentary, though.
Okay, what about it?
They wanted to make this seem like, I don't know if Seth said it somewhere backstage, but he was like, all these MMA guys.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said the week before that. It's just they're more about a fight. They're fighters. You don't think before you fight. You just fight. Basically, is the gist of what he was trying to say. He lumped Lashley in with a lot of other MMA guys. So, commentary the next week was trying to. In my opinion, they were playing both.
Yes.
You know, it was kind of like both sides. Like, it was certain things that would happen where they're like, yeah, he does look dumb. But then it was also a very, very, also a dedicated part of them that was trying to make like, Bobby nah. like no Bobby he's, smart. He's not. Yeah, he's just he's very very smart. You know,
I thought me personally
they're playing both sides.
It was a good addition to the Mets. Like sometimes for me, Jimmy on commentary can take away and just make me annoyed. But it was like this actually provided some context and some story to the actual match, and I liked it.
Good job. I think I told you this when we watched. He's getting way more comfortable in the role, and I think without Vince or without someone in his ear constantly, he's allowed to kind of just be himself. Mm-hmm. He's able to react naturally, and I think that's making his commentary much better. You know, I still may prefer others, but he's definitely way better than where he started.
Oh yeah,
and
I won't demean him today.
Yeah, but I didn't even think about that. That's fair. That element kind of added to the heat and to the anticipation. The crowd was definitely into it, even if they seemed like they probably wanted himself to win at times. He's kind of that guy that a weird conundrum. Definitely heel. All his actions very very heel. But you take a liking to him because he's just so good at what he does. And yes, I think
definitely.
That's what it is. But I did not have a problem. It continued the Riddle stuff. And it was a great title defense, which, by the way, I don't know if anyone's keeping count. But Lashley, at this point, every week is defending his United States title as if it's like he's on a Cody Rhodes TNT title type of run. Oh. Where it's like seemed like every week he's defending it and he's putting and Triple H is trying his best to put over the importance of it. So even if these matches do seem kind of random, I do love it because this is by far. And again, I will mention Imperium later, but not much having to do with just Gunther's situation. But the same thing to be said with the Intercontinental Championship. Both of those belts feel just huge by comparison. To when Shinsuke was walking around with like last year, I believe, and he didn't defend it for forever.
For like,
and then
a year.
And I think he lost it in his first defense,
yep,
or something like that, because or whatever. Like it's weird, but yeah, the point is they have come leaps and bounds when it comes to that title and that division in general, and it just comes so far with it. I can't wait to see what they do next with Bobby in that position. Next. I wanted to touch on this because this is a big part of Raw. Judgment Day has been. And I just want to say that after Dom calls his father, which, by the way, he got on his knees right in front of Ray and was like pointing at his chin, like, hit me. And Ray had a chair. And I'm just like, see, this storyline is all about disciplining your kids. Ray, if you would have whooped his ass a long time ago, he would never have done this to you. I don't care about the size difference. That's why you got to whoop his ass while he was smaller than you.
Oh, yeah. You got to take it.
Take advantage while he's growing. I know he got that growth spurt.
Even if you don't physically beat him.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like I'm saying child abuse. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
You do have to discipline him. Sometimes, like, Dominic is not scared of that look that fathers give kids.
Right.
And
he's supposed to be just terrified. Right, exactly.
Because Ray was, he always out here talking to his kids, showing affection.
It's
too late.
I'm not even gonna act like I was the closest or with my father all the time, but he got me with the look when I was growing up. You know what I'm saying? All you had to do is just look at you and you know, he ain't happy. I messed up.
I wet the bed on this one.
I did something wrong. So the fact that Ray was standing there with a chair and the Dom had the gall to just like, go ahead, hit me, Dad. I know you won't. That's just a sign that you ain't disciplined him, right? Anyway, but after that match, after he just disrespected his father, he up here talking about, he's like, I don't know, man, I need to go check on my dad. And he's like, I'm just playing. He's like, screw my dad. I'm like, wow, dumb. But then, and, you know, then he acknowledges the rumors. Like, yeah, I've heard the rumors, priest, about, you know, we have to go out apart. We got to go out to party and celebrate. And I'm just like... Whoa, Dom, you diving head first into this Judgment Day thing, aren't you? Literally, nose first, head first. I mean, anyway.
You got to dip a toe in.
Yeah, you can't just first day in the group and you're already partying with Priestie.
Smoke some weed first. Don't,
just jump. Don't do that. I imagine like a pile of the dust, and he's just jumping off the, you know. Anyway, that's besides the point.
Nosedive off the platform.
Yeah, man. The TK special, what TK do for the big shows. I don't think he use it week to week, Well, I don't know, because when he had to unveil that tournament, he...
Whenever it's something important.
Yeah, that was some big time.
Give me some courage.
Yeah, whenever it's some big news or some, a big deal coming up, TK look a little off. But anyway, like I said, besides, everybody on Twitter was talking about him saying, calling, you know, I got a new mommy now, and she was like, mommy's always right or whatever. Ugh. Or whatever she said. You cringing? Anyway, but that's fine. She can say that. I'm not even worried about the little whatever they're trying to get over with Dom. You know, I've been told you weeks ago, Dom's, if that's the situation, Dom's getting picked. But
Dom anyway, got a lot of kinks.
Right. Dom is a Dom. Or no, a sub. No, Dom is a sub. Yeah, Dom is a sub. That's what I mean. Anyway, besides that, I was more interested in him just going out. I wanted to see the party. They should have did another scene just to show us a little bit of Priest party. You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit. Okay. Right? No? No? Oh, okay. It ain't suitable? That. You're right. It's not suitable. And then
it's greasy. That's a greasy It's very party.
Greasy. It's greasy. Anyway. By the way, though. Right after this, they did a great job. They Finn walked up to AJ and he was like, "Ah, AJ, what's up? Haven't talked to you in a while. You been dodging me?" And AJ was like, "Nah, you want to turn your back on me when you joined the Judgment Day," which is pretty much what happened. But Finn is like, "Nah, man, not you. We you know, we friends. You know, we what's up?" He throwing a too sweet and all of that, just like, "Yeah, what's up, man? Hold on, I come here looking for love, and you were looking for a fight." Don't tell me you're looking for a fight.
Oh, Lord.
I loved it. I just loved the energy that Finn was having. He said, "Ah, nah, you ain't looking for no fight, man. Yeah, come on, bro. Just remember that offer is still standing." And he left. And I was just like, I love it. I love Finn in this role, one, because that just showed a little bit of his personality. But I also just love the fact that, come on, give us what we want, Trips. AJ versus Finn, straight up, feud. I love it. Come on. And then also it makes sense because they need a third. They need a third. Ray and Edge need a third. That might be what we're doing in Extreme Rules. Sick Man. Judgment Day.
Oh, they're going to take, you know, they're gonna take Matt out of
Ray
it.
Edge.
Matt was in it.
Yeah, yeah. Riddle was in it. And that's another thing. Priest is fighting Riddle. He said, yeah, see my old buddy. You know, I should have just listened. Don't worry. I just take him out next week and whatever, basically. And I'm just like, ah. Even that, again, Triple H knows that he heard all the rumors too.
That several of his stars got a nose problem.
Okay, I don't know about all that. But yes, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I know about everything, internet. That's what it felt like. But anyway, I just loved it. I love those segments from Raw. It was definitely some other stuff going on, not glossing over it, like Bayley basically. Announcing that she will be, you know, going for Bianca's belt at Extreme Rules. And honestly, with the numbers game at play and at Extreme Rules, because there's no, you can have a match with no rules there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the card would be, because by the way, I want to give Triple H props. Thank you so far for being very creative with your choices of matches for Extreme Rules. I'll never forget, I think it was either last year or was it the so-called horror show where they had a whole damn Extreme Rules pay-per-view and only one Extreme Rules match.
Yes.
And he's doing fight pits. He's talking, you know, he's doing, like, I know Liv is going to get an Extreme Rules match. So it's just, like, he's being a little bit more creative with the stipulations.
With the term Thank Extreme goodness. Rules.
Right. Thank goodness he's being creative with it. So, yeah, we'll see what happens when it comes to Bayley. And like I said, I was only saying that because I'm like, Bayley's probably going to win this belt. It actually would make sense. Bianca's had it a while. And Bayley, you know, has the numbers on her side. And even with Asuka and Alexa coming out to help, with no rules, anything can happen. So,
yeah,
keep that in mind. So, let's skip over NXT, even though it was a big return. I do want to show love to my boy Ilya Dragunov. I'm starting to believe what James from the WNR podcast was saying about him actually, the injury not being as bad as it could have been in NXT UK, and it was more so of a, you know, distancing ourselves from him kind of thing. But I don't know. It's just the only thing that made me think about this, because he's back so soon. They were telling me the ankle injury was so bad. But then again, let's remember, NXT UK is taped, so he could have got injured actually a while ago. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
And he can come back now. So either way it goes, great to see him in NXT. But let's go on to it. I have to go and get right to it. I watched this whole match. And then it was with the same ass sports entertainment, low blow, Judas Effect type of finish, too. Jericho is now your Ring of Honor champion.
Boo, boo. Tomatoes, throwing tomatoes.
Yeah, crickets.
Crickets.
No one's happy. No, just
Claudio.
Like, it was a good match. I would give him that. But yeah, no, it. I didn't really like it. But I'm thinking, and this is the only reason why I let it go for now. I don't like. I've made the argument too many times at this point that Jericho does not need any more accomplishments or big wins in these situations. But honestly, I'll let it slide because I really believe that this is probably something to do with their, especially since they're both Ring of Honor champions. Garcia is probably going to end up taking that belt off of him or something like that. Mm-hmm. And if that's the end result, if they're doing this just to get this to Garcia and put Garcia over more, then sure. That'll be the only way I can let it slide to me as far as a decision. I don't like how they did it. I don't necessarily like that it had to be done that way or whatever, but especially because the Blackpool Combat Club went from one of the most, they look like they'll be just an awesome ass crew. Now they just seem like Moxley's, and I'm not trying to say, yeah, they're just Moxley's friend because Moxley's the only one winning. Yeah. Moxley's the only one that's winning.
Wheel of Lords.
Even though Claudio was doing good before this, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Not trying to hang too long on that. I just wanted to give
Coffee over Rock.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about it, man. But you were very excited about this. You were rooting for this team at All Out.
Yes.
So
always.
The Acclaimed new tag team champion.
Gone pop.
Right? New tag team champions. And that's exactly what New York sounded like when they won it. It was a nice. Now, I must say, again, the way Tony books things. Why did they need Billy Gunn to Fame Master Swerve to get this? I felt like it would be an even bigger moment if they could have beat him straight up. Yeah. But whatever. I guess you protect the champs or you get another rematch down the line or something.
He's going to reverse this decision later.
Oh, Lord. Don't get me started on reverse decisions. I didn't even write it down because that made me mad. But by the way, I don't know if Eddie Kingston's just too honest for TK, but why can't they just let Eddie have something? Maybe. And then that's another thing. Are you putting this off so we can do it, so you guys can do it again at a random special or whatever or something?
We don't need to do it again.
Who knows? Or they're putting it off to Full Gear now? They're going to have the match they're supposed to have it All Out at Full Gear?
We don't need to do it again.
Anyway, Saraya, NAW, showed up. She got a huge pop, much bigger than this. Much bigger than this. Everyone was surprised, shocked, happy to see her. I was too. Even if it is an AEW, and the only reason why I have a negative connotation about anybody, specifically women showing up in AEW, is just because of the way that the most of their roster have been depicted.
Yeah, the track record ain't good.
It's not good, but I am happy for her. You know, because I know she wanted not only freedom from that Legends deal, they just kind of sat up and weren't using her, you know, for a while there at the end of her WWE run. And I know she's been talking about it forever. She wants to get back in the ring. And I get that. You know, people like Christian is there, people like Bryan Danielson, people who have, you know, had to take breaks and now have come back to the ring. You got somebody like Sting who's still going, like never stop. Yeah. So I get it. I get why you would go there, and, you know, maybe there's other people there who could help. Maybe I don't necessarily know if she's going to wrestle. A lot of people are saying she's still not cleared as of what they've heard of as the latest. Mm-hmm. She didn't touch anyone in the segment. They're talking about we're going to hear from Saraya next week, not telling you about her first match or whatever is going to happen. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe next week will be the thing. She have a promo, somebody come out there, maybe Britt Baker or something, and get rampaged, the nice DDT she used to do. Who knows? What'll happen? I'm happy for her, though, because as a genuine fan of her, I'm not one of these. I just saw some of the most dumb and hateful stuff from idiots, probably WWE marks, or just, and I don't even want to blame, it's not WWE's fault, it's just some of the tribalism is just out of this world. If you are someone who laughs or at telling jokes at the expense of someone's injury history, you're scum. There's nothing else I can say about it. I don't care who the hell you're a fan of. I don't give a damn. I really don't. Her way. Just imagine if you had something that happened to you while you were at work, and now you can no longer make money doing something that's your dream job. Oh, because most likely you're already scum. And you're not at your dream job. You know, picking up trash. Settling. No offense to those works or nothing. Yeah, exactly. You're not. No offense to workers out there picking up trash. But what I'm trying to say is, a person who does that is definitely not someone who's making something out of themselves. And I'll leave it at that. Anyway, congratulations to Saraya. And I hope that this is not like some of the other crossovers that we've seen so far. I hope this is much more fruitful. I hope this is the shot in the arm that I saw somebody say that this is supposed to be for the women's division in AEW. I hope that that's exactly what it is, because they have been running in place for a while.
Yeah.
And then we'll just leave it at that. Or going backwards. Yeah. They either be going backwards or running in place. Not too many steps forward so far.
I concur.
All right. Pac retaining against Orange Cassidy. I guess Pac, I mean, he never was a babyface. He's a bastard. So I don't know why people was booing when he hit Orange Cassidy with the hammer to the neck and cheated to keep his belt. But I guess it was just because it was orange. I guess it's because it was orange and they had a nice rivalry, nice feud. He don't like Orange Cassidy, though, so I wasn't really that, you know.
Surprised?
I wasn't that tore up about it. I know that much. Anyway, good job for Pac retaining his belt. And like I mentioned earlier, Moxley just keeps winning. He is your new AEW champion. I give him the pop, but I will stop that pop because why? Like, Renee, what was the vacation? Now I'm curious. I want to know where. Oh,
had
see,
a boat
look at
and
that.
Everything.
Look at that. That's crazy.
Spend time with his
God
daughter.
Damn it! And now I got a rumor later that says he's probably gonna have to be around a little bit longer because at least till November. Because to tell that rumor earlier, I just have to remember to skip it later. He's supposed to be right now. He's on the slate for possibly being the one to fight MJF. At Full Gear or whatever. So if that's the freaking case, this sucks, Moxley. God damn it. Like, I understand not wanting Danielson to win here and then just lose his belt to MJF, because that's going to happen. MJF is going to win that championship.
Yes.
He's going to end this year as champion and as well-deserved, whatever, because he's another guy that, by the way, in these interviews this past week, he was the greatest.
He been quailing
tore
everything.
Into you, Marks. Who are the tribal, you know, these people who want to choose a side, you know, you have to choose a side when it comes to wrestling.
Simple.
He tore you guys up. And then, again, he waved the flag the right way. When he was asked about the CM Punk situation and making sure to highlight, I don't care about it because it didn't pertain to me. But, you know, don't worry about AEW. People like guys like us, you know, all that situation, we have it covered. Again, doing exactly what you're supposed to do to stop all of this mess. And like I said, I've noticed, Tony, you've also been doing it. Everyone is trying to do whatever they can. You'll hear my rumors. It's a lot more positive. You know why? Because, man, all that was a mess. And they know it. So it's time to build this stuff back up. And I think that's why we got a lot of these great...
Focus back on the wrestling and not the backstage. And
exactly. That's why we got these great shows. Exactly. So I already kind of mentioned Rampage and kind of touched on Eddie Kingston and how that decision... Again, I just don't... Again, we get dream matches, we get dream moments like what I mentioned in a second, but the way they do stuff sometimes just is so frustrating with that. And then that's enough on that. But Hangman earning his title shot in the Battle Royale, congratulations. Again, though, weird.
TNT title?
No, he's going to be fighting for, you know, what the hell, why? No, he's not. First of all, Who wants that belt at this point?
It just says a title.
No one wants this.
I'm trying to be creative. No one wants that belt. All Atlantic title?
Babe, no.
No? Okay.
No.
Undy?
Anyway, definitely going to get the title shot against Moxley at some point. Probably sooner than later. I don't necessarily know. They didn't give us a date or anything about that. But, yeah, that's good for Hangman. Again, though, it's weird because he did just lose to Danielson. And if Danielson would have won, I guess we would have got a rematch. But since Danielson did not win, we get Moxley and Hangman. It is a unique matchup, but it's just kind of similar to what happened with Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Loses his match, and next week, the very next week, or pretty
you get
much.
Rewarded.
He's, yeah.
But okay, I'll leave this alone because I
it
like
happens.
Hangman.
It is what it is. Yeah, no, Hangman's not going to get it. Nah, yeah, I'm not complaining at all because him and Moxley's going to kill it most likely anyway. Ricky Starks wins the lights out match against Hobbs. I don't know if this is going to be the end of this feud, but he showed great heart. He survived.
Doesn't that mean it doesn't count?
And he did a great job. And to protect Hobbs's record, I'm assuming, if that even matters.
I don't even care about records.
Who cares about it at this point? I got more about that anyway. Now, later. So just hold your horses on the rankings and the records.
Okay.
But So it was great to see Ricky show heart and survive that match and, you know, end up winning the match definitively, which is what people wanted in All Out. Yep. Like I said, we'll see what happens going forward. you know, I think they have someone special on their hands. I don't know if it's TNT or if it's versus MJF already? By next year or something. Yeah, Ricky Starks is a star. Please recognize that. Do not forget it, AEW. The Great Muta came out, helped Sting early in the other one. It was so great to see him. He's one of my favorites. I just wanted to give a second to shout him out. If you just one of your first time seeing the Great Muta on television or whatever, go back, look at his WCW stuff, look at his New Japan, look at what he's been doing with Noah the last, you know, decade or so. Like, the Great Muta, Keiji Muto, one of the greatest of all time. The reason why I love Japanese pro wrestling, or one of the reasons why him and Shinsuke Nakamura are my, you know, they're on my Mount Rushmore of why I watch Japanese pro wrestling. So, again, one of the greatest of all time in his last year. And Sting is going to return the favor and go to Noah, I'm hearing, for one of his last shows, which is awesome.
So was it Muta as in like the face paint, or was it?
It wasn't face paint. It's his mask, but he same deal. It's just a newer, updated version. Okay, so it was Muta. Yeah, it's Muta, not KG. Yeah, not Muto, but okay. The Great Muta showed up. Yeah, spit the mist in Buddy face. Ooh. Yeah, got the mist on him, and Sting, you know, dropped
Buddy,
him.
Buddy so. Life just ain't working out right, huh?
Him and Tony Nese, even though I think they're happy to be there because, again, at least they're getting on damn TV and, you know, getting consistent work, but him and Tony Nese came over here and just, you know, still lose the same amount that they lost in WWE. But hey, they're great in there. I'm assuming they're happy.
You happy? You got a job.
I'm assuming they're happy. Yeah, they're on TV. They, like I said, they weren't even on TV consistently. I can't complain about Tony Nese wanting to go there. He never really got a time.
You got friends there, you know, him and John.
Yeah, I don't blame it. Are they
Silver?
Oh, Silver. Yeah, yeah. They're like, they're both from like the same place, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got history. Yeah, that makes sense. So on to SmackDown after that, because Muta, I just wanted to give give flowers to Muta in his final year. I don't know if I'll get a chance to do it again.
When he actually retires.
Yeah, before he actually is out of here. So yeah, definitely wanted to show my love.
Japan does retirement right.
They do it great. They send you on it. They give you an legitimate tour too. Like, you're done. Like, when you're done, like, you hit the whole world for the most part, if you're if you can, and you just, you know, you get respect that you deserve.
All the adulation. In
multiple, right. You remember what they did for Liger in New Japan, and yeah, man, even Nakanishi, a lot of Japanese, you know, legends. People. They show love. Yeah, they really do. They really do it, like you said, the right way. It's a full world tour for their legends. But yeah. Sammy, officially, you saw it earlier. He's officially an honorary Oos. All right,
go on, pop for that.
The wait is over. He's no longer wearing that Bloodline shirt. He ain't got nothing to do with the Bloodline. He's an honorary Oos.
Now, Roman told him to take that shirt off.
He did. I don't know why he was standing there all confused.
Like a D in hell.
And
like,
Jay is just... I love the contrast. Like, Jay went from just very, very angry, like, yeah, we finna jump this fool, to when he got that new shirt, he was just, like, disgusted.
He was hurt. It's going to be Sammy or Jay at one point in the future.
He was disgusted. Even later when the Usos retained.
Roman don't talk to them.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
But he made these obviously, decisions.
Yeah, they don't, yeah. But also, before that, the Usos were trying to give a promo, I'm assuming, to hype up what they were going to do to the Brawling Brutes later in their title defense. And he just, all Roman had to do was, like, just motion for the mic and get them to stop talking so Roman can talk.
Bro.
Like, Roman's, oh, man. Anyway, yeah, he's that guy. And Sammy's in there. We'll see how this continue to play out. I'm loving it. It's a slow burn. Sammy also already has the crowd on his side. So when that eventual and inevitable turn, because it's going to happen. Yeah. The Bloodline is going to beat him out of it at some point. He's going to screw up. Something's going to go wrong, whatever. Whether it's his fault or they blame him for something. Something is going to happen to where Sammy probably will not be here too long. But until then, let's just enjoy the ride of this extended Bloodline, because I love it. Anyway, the Usos retained also that night, thanks to Imperium coming out. And, getting involved, which, again, continues the Sheamus and Gunther stuff. Like, once again, telling you, Intercontinental title is important now. And so it was just great to see that. The Usos continuing their run, not really that surprising. honestly, part of me thought it would be really, really poetic. Not the, and they really should tell the story the right way. You and I hate to say this, but until they tell me they're gonna, unless they're gonna do it with either the Profits or they have a newer team that's gonna debut, mm-hmm. and that they can put over for this spot, the New Day has to be the one to take the belts, just because it'd be poetic.
They've done it every time.
That's what I'm saying. Though it'd just be so poetic. Like it'd be like to me, it'd just be like history repeating itself in a different way. But it just like somehow, it like it would be them. That's why I say that.
I agree.
Like, no one else is even close. So that's why I'm like, and they've done a great job of keeping them away from each other for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even though I know we've seen it a billion times, if the New Day were to take it off, it'd just be poetic in the sense that I'm like, ah.
Them brothers.
It would be them.
Them big old burly brothers from NXT coming up.
Now, that's a chance. That's the only one. That's what I'm saying. The Creeds. That's it. If the Creeds come up or someone up in that ilk, then that would make more sense, and it would put over a new team. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, if you don't want to do that,
The New Day
should do it just purely off history, purely off being by far the two best teams of this era.
Yes, if they the ones, the New Day the two.
Exactly, by far, yes, exactly. The Usos are the ones, we know who the twos are. But anyway, that's it. I just wanted to kind of give my update on this week in wrestling. As you can see, that took 30 minutes. But again, I think I did a good job of basically giving everybody a little bit of shine. People who listen to the show, you probably be like, these guys, they hate AEW. You know, see, there you go. Look at the day. I talked about every important thing that happened pretty much. I mean, I guess Toni Storm retained. She pinned Britt Baker. That was cool. I left that out. I didn't want y'all to think that's not important, because it is. On to pure speculation. So, on Sunday night. Oh, Sunday night's main event? That's something. I don't know what the hell that is. But anyway, on that's Sunday night's main event. Okay, it's a show. Meltzer said that the reason Logan Paul is in the main event is because he's a big deal to the Saudi Arabian prince, which, again, this is not the first time we've heard that the prince seemed to be out of touch. No, out of touch. Not just influential. He's definitely influential. But, man, does he seem to be out of touch with what your average wrestling fan likes. But anyway, that's besides the fact. Saudi officials want Roman Reigns versus Paul because it would garner more mainstream publicity than Reigns versus Seth or Kevin Owens would. And you know how it goes when they do those Saudi shows, what they say goes. And I ain't, hey. Remember when they were stranded over there? I don't have anything negative to say. While I'm here, sure, Logan Paul, whatever you want. If I'm Triple H, yeah, whatever. Yeah, what? Yeah, cool.
That's fine.
No problem. Anyway, Hulu's deal for next day rights to Raw and SmackDown replays is about to expire. The service will pull all WWE content Sunday if they can't agree on a new contract. That report comes from PW Insider, who says the two sides are still negotiating. I don't know if anything's been solved by now. I feel like I would have heard something. I don't know. We're really, really close to that deadline. So if you keep up with it through Hulu,
sorry,
might as well get ready to start watching YouTube or whatever.
Whatever other means.
Whatever source. Live, whatever way. Yeah, whatever live. Source you can find, I guess, to watch it. Russell Vogt says a source told them he suspects the recent White Rabbit teases are about Bray Wyatt, but doesn't know because everything is being withheld. Because
it's speculation.
It is. Purely speculation. Mm-hmm. They're hoping to keep it as quiet as possible while still drawing the interest that they have. So that makes sense. Honestly, with the way things have been going this year and all the stuff that we found out pre-things happening because of leaks and all of that, it's about damn time somebody learned to keep a secret.
Uh-huh. So they ain't telling everybody at the office what they got planned. This list that everybody was talking about, it ain't open to the public no more.
Right. Per Fightful Select, morale is up right now within WWE. Again, here go another one of those reports, right? The company's employees were told by Triple H, Stephanie, and Nick Khan that they're going to be getting more holidays off. So, like, Juneteenth. Oh, okay, so they didn't even just mean they're going to give you a bonus. Thanksgiving Eve will be off. They can't. Thanksgiving Eve will be off. It's gonna be they got a floating holiday.
They don't work Wednesdays.
Veterans Day. They, I guess they don't, huh? I guess they mean live events. Oh. Like, no live events going to be scheduled that close.
Okay, so you can fly in for your family.
Or something like that, yeah.
For the people that work on Tuesdays.
But Juneteenth is off. Veteran Day is off, of course. Thanksgiving Eve. And like they said, they have a floating holiday also. So we'll see what happens as things continue to go on. I'm assuming this for the most part, this probably just means we're just getting pre-tapes for them scenarios if they were to line up on a day or around a situation. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. But either way it goes, that does sound really, really good. Another one of those things that I told you, positive PR for the company. They've been on that train for months now. For what it's worth, Dave Meltzer said that AEW rankings are not dead, but they have been toned down.
Sure, Dave. Sure.
It was a decision not to put emphasis on them as much on TV, but they always can go back to doing
that
so.
That means that they're doing not. So that means
they're dead. As long as they don't acknowledge them, then they don't matter. So, yeah.
That means they haven't been You're ranking right. people.
They always could be. They always could matter. Now, honestly, it's funny, though. He said that, and then I could have swore FTR just was complaining about the fact that they've been number one contender since, like, April.
Because so, rankings don't matter, y'all.
Again, I'm saying they must didn't get the memo.
Now they know. Now they know.
That site also spoke to a pair of AEW veterans, one of whom said, that means they've been here the last 3 years. That's just all. AEW veterans. It's funny to me.
They spoke to Darby Allin.
Talking about okay. it like yeah, talking about it like they just been around so long. But anyway, yeah, okay. AEW veterans. They said the last 3 weeks have been much more laid back than how things were leading up to All Out. I can imagine. the other veteran said last three tapings were the best the locker room has been in a long time.
Crack or nah.
I wonder why. Some people missing. But again, watch this. Another of Fightful's AEW sources used the term addition by subtraction to describe the current backstage culture. Oh. But he wouldn't be specific about who they referred to.
I think I can take a gander.
Either way, even if you can't take a gander, I just wanted to use that to say, remember what I just told you about WWE shutting up more? AEW seems to be still on that train of letting us know everything.
But what they don't realize is this is not good PR.
It's not right. Even if I think it's an attempt to be positive PR. Like, things are much better. But you know,
and you still have to acknowledge that before it was a problem.
Right.
We're supposed to be forgetting about what happened.
And three of these people are, I assume, returning. But, hey, I got something about that also as far as three of those people go. I can't talk about the other two. I have no clue what they are.
One of them definitely is not.
And that, again, I don't. We'll talk about that when we find out more. But, anyway, WWE filed for trademarks on NXT Europe, predictably, and also NXT Global. So, and this seemed to be part of the plan that Triple H said that he's going to try to make like a World Cup, basically, of NXTs, where we all just have a worldwide
type of thing going.
This was always his plan, though. Yeah, this was always his plan, though. He was talking about this many, many moons ago, and now it has more of a chance of actually happening because he's the one making these decisions. And I think it'll be exciting, specifically because I think Triple H will be more open to working with different promotions. So maybe we'll see, you know, a lot of special talent from around the world possibly working under the WWE banner. We'll see what happens, you know, because again, Triple H was the one that in the original CWC, he got Kota Ibushi, Zack Sabre Jr. You know what I mean? He is aware of some of the best in the world.
Yes.
We know that. Now, when it comes to Vince McMahon, we had no clue if he actually knew who the hell he was booking half the time.
No.
You know, we didn't know if he knew anything about them other than the fact that they're here now under this name and whatever he wanted them to do for him. So, anyway, we'll see what happens or what results from that. It's expected that the main event of AEW's Full Gear pay-per-view in November will be Jon Moxley versus MJF, like I mentioned. And I obviously did not skip over this like I wanted to. I do this every time. Anyway, so I don't have much else to add to that other than the fact that MJF is definitely or should win that championship. Even though Moxley at this point, I'm losing count. Is he like three times now? Is at least three. At least three times.
I think it's four times. But it could at
least did he get rewarded for beating Punk in the other one? Because he was already a champion for that one. Does it count because he unified it?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it is four. Anyway, way it goes.
We don't know. This is Tony.
Either way it goes, he's definitely gonna lose that belt there, most likely. After checking in with his sources in the WWE locker room following Survivor Series, the Survivor Gear Series War Games announcement, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful tweeted, the reaction to that news and all recent changes at the company remains positive. But Sapp contrasted it to the negativity he heard about backstage following Royal Rumble. Okay, so Moxley's still a three-time champ. You should say that on the mic. Anyway,
oh, my bad.
Anyway, yeah. She's just confirmed that Moxley is just a three-time champion. Doesn't matter. It still works. He's still the most by far, I think, now.
Yes.
He's two ahead of everyone now, huh?
Yes.
Should be, yeah. So, yeah, like I was just mentioning, the morale in WWE this time, well, not really this time, but around the Royal Rumble last year, or around the Royal Rumble earlier this year, basically, was the opposite of where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
So Triple H is once again doing things that have people at the company satisfied, it seems, with the direction that they're going in. According to the Wrestler Observer Live's Brian Alvarez, said at the time when Bray Wyatt was fired by WWE, had an issue with being cleared to compete. That issue was part of the factor in WWE's decision to release him. He went on to say that he doesn't know if that issue was ever resolved.
BS.
We'll see. I don't know.
Not putting people business out here. Also, what I wanted to say, I just remembered this. The reason why all the morale is so high backstage is because, like, for once and ever, right, we have a former wrestler running a company. Like, legit running a company.
Yeah, someone who understands. Yeah, I know what you mean. Someone who actually worked, you know, week to week,
was backstage with the guys.
Right. Understand the locker room, understand traveling, understand all the issues that another wrestler would go through.
Who has a family, who wants to be with their family.
Right. And that makes sense. I agree 100%. That's a good point. So, but yeah, I don't really have much to say about that Bray Wyatt stuff because it was never really expressed, at least clearly out before all of that he was having trouble being clear. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't happening. I'm just saying I don't really remember it being a big thing. So if it is something now, I guess we'll just have to wait and see where it comes, where it goes from there. Regarding the story of WWE contacting more AEW wrestlers besides Malakai Black, a source in WWE heard that the company sent out feelers to Dax. Okay, remember earlier I said WWE wasn't talking. Apparently, one guy hasn't got the freaking message. But anyway, they sent out feelers to Dax Harwood and Cash, you know, FTR, and Swerve Strickland. Again, all those people, from what we've heard them say, for the most part, are happy with what they're doing right now. Not interested. So. I don't know. We'll see, but that's at least some of the people they claim to who got reached out to. But it really doesn't matter. It's none of our business, in all honesty. Ryan Frederick says Bobby Fish, also not our business. By the way, this next
not
one,
our business.
This
Ryan.
Next yes, Ryan. This is not our business. But anyway, he says Bobby Fish tried to convince Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly to request their release from AEW. And go back to WWE, but they told him no. Again,
look,
none of our business. That's a private conversation.
They're friends. They
that
can,
you
they
did
can
not
disagree.
Have to share. Right, you did not have to share that. As far as the ongoing investigation into the all-out brawl, by the way, this is not over. CM Punk and the Elite, of course. Alvarez claimed that nobody is communicating anything to Omega and the Bucks. Again, proving my point earlier about telling you that this EVP stuff that they are is just a title. They don't have any power in that company.
They're just somebody.
It don't feel
blame.
Like it, because if this is true, how the hell are you going to tell me we're EVPs? And not only we not have anything communicated to us, they're absolutely 100% in the dark. They said the Elite have no idea when they might return to AEW. How the hell could you say they're EVPs or they have any type of stroke at all? If that's true.
All this sacrifice.
If they were, and if it is, maybe they just were EVPs. Maybe they lost when the suspension happened.
They lost that title.
Or while they're on suspension, they're no longer viewed as EVPs. We don't have to tell you nothing right now because you're suspended.
You do have
to. I don't know. Either way it goes.
Update me on my position in the company.
Right. And it sounds like it's just one of those you're suspended indefinitely type of things. Mm-hmm. So basically until I feel like bringing you back. So I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it's weird. Really weird. And like I said, again, one of those things kind of like along with Cody's comments and here go something else that if true. Which, by the way, it could not be true. But if this is true, the EVP stuff is just a lot of talk. Or just, a title.
Mm-hmm.
MJF's negotiated deal with AEW pays him more than $1 million per year, which is, I think, part of what he was asking about anyway. He just wanted his due. And even though he doesn't have a new deal, so, you know, they still would have to actually bid on him and get him to commit. But as of right now, he's making good money, they say.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair amount for him. It might even be lowballing it.
Yeah. I mean, especially specifically if you think about where he is and how important he is.
I see he's selling out these scarves.
Yeah. These scarves. Yeah, no, like I was saying, he's very important and he's obviously someone they're gonna want to lean on for the future.
Yes.
So I just don't understand why he was having a hard time investing in his future. I don't get that. Anyway, last but not least, Wrestling Observer Network reports that NXT has either a new rule, which, I don't know how he doesn't know whether or not it's a rule or not. But anyway, it's at least a strong recommendation that talent must be good enough.
So somebody said it in passing.
Right. That talent needs to be good enough for TV within 2 years of their debut. Or, you know, not necessarily TV debut, but, like, you know, get into the center, I believe.
Since we sent out that picture.
Yeah, within 2 years of you being in the performance center, you have to be good enough to be on TV or they face release. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be incredible. It doesn't mean you have to be awesome. You just have to be good enough so we feel like we can put you on TV consistently.
Show progress. That's all they're asking for.
Show progress. You can't do a lot. You can't be stagnant. Can't be getting not any better, just collecting a check. A lot of people right now are on the clock, according to Meltzer, which I'm not surprised. That's constant. Yeah, and that clock never stops ticking. So we'll see what happens, what comes of that. It's always a group of guys and gals who, unfortunately, if they don't feel like they can make the cut or whatever, are usually let go. So we'll see what happens. We've seen a lot of people already, let go. Mm-hmm. And it definitely don't seem like that will ever. You know, it is what it is. That thing is not guaranteed when they, like you said, they take that photo and they put the performance center shirt on you. You know, it doesn't mean
I think
you're a WWE guy guaranteed when they do that.
Right. I also think they're kind of getting scorned by some of these people that they committed to sign, like old Gable dude. Like, he decided he was going to go do another year of college.
Yeah. I think he's an exempt, though, almost. Because they made such public statements about him. He's going to be on TV. Whether he laughs or not, yeah, we'll see. But
it's like stuff like that. Don't just say, I'm going to come here, I'm going to do it, and then kind of not work towards. I feel like it's just to tell people y'all should be working towards debuting on TV.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But it's not even just, it's like you said. And also, it's also because that new direction of going after just, even though I've noticed, I've heard that direction of their recruiting is staying mostly the same.
Mm-hmm.
That new direction of going for going for raw athletes, mm-hmm. a lot of times you still have to have a mix. You know, back when Triple H was doing a lot of recruiting, when it seemed like for NXT, he had people who were raw athletes, but he also had a mix of guys who knew the business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why
it's kind of helped the athletes along.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think people like Roderick Strong is still down there. Even mm-hmm. though they said he may have verbalized asking for his release, I believe people like him are still there and needed, because you need people like that with that experience to help these athletes. Like, for example, DK, Damian Kemp or whatever, who was in the situation. I think he's the one who people wanted the team with Gable Stevenson. So I believe so. I could be wrong, but either way it go, the point is he's been with Roderick Strong, and now now that he's turned heel or whatever, now he's doing his own thing or whatever. But the point is putting him with a guy like that.
Yeah,
and I think when you have such an influx of just pure raw athletes who may not know much about the business, may not care a whole bunch about it, stuff like that can put the fire under them. You know what I mean? If you got it, you're going to show us now because you know you're on the clock. If you don't got it, then you're just going to fester out anyway. That's true. You're going to fold under the pressure. So it's one of those situations.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, that's it. That's all the speculation I got. Yeah, man, I'm happy with that because honestly, this show, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. So I love it. What are we going to talk about when it comes to your marbles?
Alrighty, guys, it's my marbles time. So, I just want to recap. I didn't do this the previous weeks because I didn't feel like it. But I just want to recap all of the notable birthdays that occurred this week in the music industry. Well, the K-pop music industry.
There you go. Let's, be specific. Don't lie. All right, there we go. You don't care about.
Let's be honest. I only
Olivia Rodrigo's birthday. I have no clue if her birthday was even this month. I'm just being just using her as an example.
I'll never care. So you'll find out later that this is only really for one person. But happy belated birthday to EXO's Chien. I think he's 30 now, 31, somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah, good job telling somebody happy birthday. Don't know how old they turn.
Korean age is weird. Leave me alone.
Gotcha. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Shout out to the father of K-pop. All right, move on.
All right, one of the father of EXO. We can say that. Next up, we got Stray Kids' Seungmin's birthday. He just turned 22.
Oh, I was supposed to pop for that. My fault. I feel rude now.
You are rude. You're very rude. And lastly, let's all give a happy belated birthday to I was gonna say his whole name. I won't say it. I'll be respectful to Shiny's Key. Long pop.
Not biased whatsoever.
At all. Not biased at all.
Obviously biased.
Not biased at all.
Okay.
But happy belated birthday to those three individuals. There are more. I only care about those three.
What the hell is this?
It's a fun thing for me, okay?
Okay.
Let me have it. Next up, you know how I came on here a couple weeks ago and said I wasn't going to talk about the BTS Island game? Well, I lied because they reeled me back in. They added a new story. This time they've crashed onto an iceberg. Who told them to go south? Y'all on some random island. How do you end up in the Antarctic? You know? Like, how do you end up there? Where was this island located to begin with? I thought it was just an island somewhere off of the coast of, you know, Asia. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You don't want the real reasoning behind all your questions. So,
money.
Okay, there you go. All right,
I know
cool.
The reason. All right, cool. But I'm saying, like, logistically, how do you sail from an island, meet up with Bang PD, and then you end up crash landed again on a cold island that's completely frozen? And
what do any of them know about sailing?
That's obviously, hey, that's fair.
Obviously nothing.
That's fair. Nothing. Navigation skills are poor. But anyway, they've sucked me back in. I'm still playing the game. Boo. But that's fine. I don't have an issue with it. I was gonna continue to play the levels that they kept releasing, but now I'm working towards another goal.
Continuing to line they pockets.
I won't be paying them, though. I won't be paying them this time. I've learned my lesson. I can't just keep paying them and expecting it to be over at the end. Because after this story is released, they said they got another story. So they're going to crash land somewhere else after I saved them here. It don't even matter.
I didn't tell you so, but I told you that's the point. That's the point of mobile games, man.
Get
you paying and try to just have an unlimited amount of reasons to keep you paying.
It's not like they need money. This is a perfect segue because J-Hope of BTS is featured on a song with R&B K-pop singer Crush called Rush Hour.
Mm-hmm. Crush Hour.
It's called Rush Hour.
I know, but it's also, it should have like, it should be one of the songs, parentheses, Crush Hour.
Anyway, it was a cool, infectious song. It was so cute. I don't like the hibby, hibby, hibby part.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't. I feel like we're just saying nonsense at this point.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about it. The songs are gone so fast that I didn't really... I mean, I listened to it, and it was fine. Like you said, I'm not really moved either way on the song, I guess. Let me say it that way. Yeah. That's pretty much it. I don't have a lot to say. All right,
well,
let
me tell you what
the internet said. It was so brief.
The internet said it was 2 minutes.
It was so brief to me. The video was fine, though. I like the video.
The internet said Hobie don't miss. Hobie always putting out fire verses, whether he featured, whether it's his album, his song.
Again,
Hobie don't miss.
I agree with Hobie's verse was fine or fire, but it was short.
Because it's a 2 minute song.
Everything was short.
Hobie is an angel reincarnated on earth. He look after Crush in his promotions. There's allegedly supposed to be a live performance somewhere of this song. He's done TikToks. Like, Hobie is just an angel, and we should all appreciate him more. And this is not Hobie's song, but the internet has made it about Hobie.
Yeah, it's pretty much made it his song.
He also is the first Korean soloist to inhabit the top two songs worldwide. Top one being Crush and him, the soloist, J-Hope.
Why the hell is it? What song is number two?
Yet to Come, the Hyundai remix.
Why?
Because that's put it.
We're
going to
leave
it
alone. We're just going to leave it alone. We're just going to say why right there, and I ain't got nothing else to say. Because, man.
But yeah.
Goddamn commercial song.
Congrats, Hobie. This was a cool release. I just don't like how some of this is happening. Like, it started with a random story promotion on like Monday that the song is coming out on Thursday. And then I had to kind of like catch up to kind of figure out who Crush was. Because I've seen people recommend Crush, but I was like, I got too many people I'm responsible for. And then I went and I looked into his old stuff, and I was like, oh, I see why they were recommending him. This is my vibe. And then this song came out, and then now I feel like, whoosh. I didn't have enough time to have it soak in.
Yeah, and that's another thing. That's why I keep saying it's brief or like that, because when I watched the video once, I didn't really, like, you know how it is with K-pop videos or just songs in general. Sometimes you go back to it and it's like, okay, I get it. So, yeah, it's kind of, for example, like, Too Bad is at first I was immediately tired of it. But then when you go back and you find like the funny parts or the cool parts of the song, it make you be like, okay.
Yeah, it's always like something it. Like Johnny did a woo 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 or something like that. It's small stuff that you catch later on. And other than like the dance, and I don't see any Easter eggs in this 2 minute song. But it's cute, it's fun. It makes it got Crush more mainstream.
It served its purpose.
Which I think that was the point of it. Also, Zoom In, brand new, coming Monday, September 26th. I will be at work. But guess what I'm listening to all the way there? Brand new. Oh, I love it. The teasers, I love it. I love it. I wasn't even supposed to say that. I didn't write that down. But Zoom In.
We'll have more about that Wednesday. So, sure. Yeah, yes. Spoiler alert, we're going to try to do something a little bit different for you guys on a new time during the week. I don't think that's going to stop these shows on Saturdays, but
no.
We're hoping to kind of go back. Kind of, if you've been listening a long time, you remember when we had kind of two shows going. This is kind of going to be of the same vein, but this is going to be completely different. Mostly entertainment, television, music-based. I kind of just wanted to have a platform where I did everything. I could focus on one thing at a time, or yes, like one, you know, genre or whatever at a time. We're talking about TV. We're going to bring it there. And like you just mentioned with Zoom In situation, we have
Full Too Bad is album review.
Yeah, you want to do that.
We got the Glorilla Cardi B single review.
Yeah. which again, we will be trying to run down like any new singles, any new visuals and stuff that we want to check out and, you know, give it a review for. We will. I don't know if we're going to catch everything or anything. I don't know if I may, maybe if you guys like it, we will start doing requests of things that you guys want us to look at, review or whatever. We'll see. Anything is possible, but we're just going to, I'm going to leave this show while promoting that. That yes, we have a fun, different type of show. We're going to try to get into Abbott Elementary also on that one. So just same way you're doing now, just check it out. And I appreciate you for listening to us this far and listening to this show. So you got anything else you want to add before I get us out of here?
Annyeong.
All right. Well, again, thanks for listening as always. And I'll see you guys when we do this again, or you guys will hear from me when we do this again. Adios. Au revoir.